Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. I'm Bruce from Printavo. This is Printavo's Print Hustlers podcast. We're really excited. We've got another episode this week. We're dropping every Thursday. Today, as you can see, if you're watching this on YouTube, we are in person. We're hanging out.
We're here.
We're on the couch. Steven is live. Really tan.
It's mocha season.
Normally he has a filter on his video to even things out, but he's really tan. Why?
I got married.
Oh, that's right. Congratulations, by Thank the way. You. Matt still owes you a gift.
The gift is here.
I am a gift.
It's
my
his presence
is the present.
That is correct.
And he gives me dad jokes.
Yeah, from your dad 101.
This is what I gave Matt today is I'd rather be screen printing.
Which I'll put on my car, but I actually wouldn't rather be screen printing.
And 101 dad jokes, but that stays in the office.
I was just at the Sports Inc. show in San Antonio this year. They do two a year, different cities, and it was actually really, really cool. I don't know how much I could say about how it works, but I'm just going to say everything.
Yeah, just give us everything.
So wait, Sports Inc., INC or INK?
Ooh.
C.
Wrong. So we'll start the sports.inc and host it with Steven's website.
Or your websites.
Or true.
Do you own sports.inc or no?
Give us a minute.
One moment, please.
We will. GoDaddy.
Set the timer, producer Chris.
For some reason, my GoDaddy always goes to a different language.
All right. Time's up.
Hold on.
Next
sports.inc.
For some reason. So this is how I've learned Danish.
Oh, it's taken.
Damn.
Okay.
Next time.
Sports Inc. Really, really cool. It's the first time we actually did this as a trade show. And there's about 200 to 220 members on the sports apparel side. They do a lot of like high school, junior high, club, just all basically sporting apparel.
So you only had 200 visitors?
Correct. But, okay, super high quality businesses because they vet people to get into Sports Inc. You have to share financials. You have to go through a 2 or 3 hour interview.
Oh, wow.
Nobody can just go to these things. They have speakers. They like try to keep a really tight knit thing. You pay monthly to be a part of Sports Inc. And then you get these like exclusive, you can sell Nike, you can sell Under Armour, and you get all the inventory. Really,
it's like
easily.
Being in the Printavo Club.
Kinda.
What if you guys had to interview customers?
Campus Inc. shirts.
How funny would that be if you guys had to interview customers? Like, hey, I want to sign up for Printavo. We'll let you know.
We'll think about it. We have to vet you first.
Yeah.
Make sure. Let me see your financials.
Are you a crazy? Are you a Karen? Like,
how
you know.
Serious are you? Producer Chris, you're gonna have to edit this one together. But it was fun. It was really cool. Although lower quantity of people for a show, everybody was so legit. So we had every single conversation was such a good high.
So it kind of seems like you didn't have the kangaroos, right? The people that can like grab stuff and put it in their pouch but not reach their wallet.
Saturday, right? Visitors.
So you didn't have the kangaroos. You actually had like real solid attendees that were there to actually.
Yes.
Learn something or possibly gain something for them.
Yeah,
business.
They were like, look, I had somebody come up and was like, look, I'm switching off this tool. Just tell me why I need to switch because I want to do it now. We do X amount of dollars a year and, boom, boom, boom. Okay, where do I do this? Where do I do that? Like it wasn't sort of best practice conversation. It was like, how do I do this? Execute.
But I think they were already qualified.
Exactly.
Because Sports Inc. did such a good job of qualifying them. You're there to deliver a service for customers that actually like know they want it, know they need it. And you're not as much selling them as much as they're coming and saying, oh crap, everything else out there is bad.
Yeah.
Right. So,
if you're looking or you do a lot of team sports, hit them up. I mean, I would highly recommend joining it. You guys have so many interns here. We are filming in Steven's office. There's a lot of students.
Bruce's former office.
We came a few times.
COVID office.
This was our COVID office.
I had to get out of the house. I was losing my mind in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And
then you just left the state completely.
Really lost his mind.
Back, yeah. I feel like
just as much. I'm seeing you more now that you've moved away.
I've heard that.
You should move back so I can see you less.
That works.
Okay.
Correct.
But yeah, you've got a lot of students.
Yeah, we bring, because we work on the academic calendar, so we bring 8 interns in over the summer for 8 weeks, and they have very, very specific goals, and they work on that for 32 hours a week for 8 weeks.
Is this sales stuff?
Sales, marketing, recruiting, essentially like every aspect of the business. There's 2 interns dedicated to that, and they get a good experience, and then they're also able to make an impact, and we just have fun with them too.
Are these paid interns?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we pay for them to come live in Chicago, so they get $800 a month, and they get paid.
And that covers them living in Chicago?
Well,
where are they living?
If you get rent for $1,000 a month, at least you get $800 just for a per diem, and then they get paid 32 hours a week. Fridays are off, and it's a pretty good deal, but it's pretty competitive. Like, all of our students across the country compete for the summer internship, where we actually bring the ones in here. Mm-hmm. And it's fun. We were just at the lake with them for 2 days. And I don't know, you're just meeting a lot of these students I've worked with for several years, and I've never actually met them in person. And some of them do like over 6 figures of business a year. So like, they're not...
Secrets.
Yeah.
That's actually really good.
If I was to leave Printavo, I could slide into one of these spots then and...
Lake House access.
Right, right. Okay.
What are the other perks? Stipend.
Free merch.
Free merch. I mean...
Merch.
And one Cheetos. Thing I don't have enough of is free merch in my life.
Cheetos and free spots.
Cheetos. Yeah. Oh, and hard seltzers.
Hey. Ting.
Cheers.
No, that's actually super cool. I know a lot of people that I meet and you're not at the show, they'll be like, oh yeah, we're trying, or, you know, we're trying to do the student stuff. And I mean, obviously it's not as easy as just 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. I get a lot of phone calls from people being like, hey, I really want to hire students. I'm like, okay, hire some engineers.
Yeah. I mean, how many years into this process are you before you even started doing this intern program? Like,
well, we have, we're at about 140 students around the country. Who are all on Printavo, who all know how to put in their own orders.
Damn right.
Who are all getting trained in Adobe Illustrator.
Ooh.
So we pay for all their Adobe Illustrator.
How are you doing that training? Are you hosting that? Are you doing like a Udemy, or what do you...
We do a...
You're talking to the mic, Matt. This is his first time.
This is better.
So a lot of them is my curriculum, or like Adam and I, and we really just, we dumb it down a lot, make it really simple. Jeff, who does a lot of our video content, does a lot of tutorials. And really, we just try to get them to a point where they understand Illustrator, they understand the concepts there. So it's not that they're necessarily going to take something and be some crazy artist when they're done, as much as can they, you know, take a logo, work with it. If someone sends them a vector file, do they know the difference between a PNG and a PDF? Can they pick out our swatch colors? And we say if they can bring us an order and it's like 80% there, mm-hmm. it's better than a lot of the other customers that just drop and just say, come up with something, you know?
Me sending Matt JPEGs from Custom Ink.
You never send print-ready files.
Bruce, yeah, I send them as vectors.
He's finally gotten better.
No, they're not vectors.
Nope. Nope.
What?
You save them as a PDF and you assume they're a vector.
You have to retain AI editing capabilities.
There's no structural integrity to the artwork.
He's gotten better over the last year. I have trained
Matt
Bruce how to give me...
wanted me to send it on his registration template. So I understand that. Make it a lot easier. I didn't have the exact template, so I was sending in the vectors. I think there was one font that wasn't outlined. There was one
There's
font.
Been a few issues, but we always get there. It's just another customer.
There was one...
our students are... Like, if you ask our students the difference between vector and raster, they can tell you.
They're smart.
Are we saying that Bruce can't?
No.
Bruce?
Yeah. No, I cannot. Oh. I don't know the difference between that. Isn't raster when you click on the JPEG and then it transfers in Photoshop to, you can edit?
And this is why I drink.
All right.
Stick to software.
Take a sip.
Take a drink every time Bruce says
I'd like to the
something wrong about
I like for the record to be noted that I've always sent vectors.
You never sent a vector, you sent a PDF.
I let the record show
See,
that that's
incorrect. Why Steven's no longer our vendor. That's why we moved to Sound and Fury. No, you know, you said 32 hour work week. I went to 2 other shops in San Antonio, and I've talked to a couple others just visiting around. Everybody was doing 4-day work weeks. every single shop that I've been.
I mean, there's a lot of research behind that, isn't there? That even sometimes saying that doing 4 10-hour days is still better than doing 5 8-hour days, just because having the extra weekend and actually like giving real time to relax means you're going to be working harder for those days. So there's a lot of research behind that I've heard already coming across 4 day work weeks being more beneficial.
I've heard it both ways. I've heard it in the production floor that like there's, you know, where are you slow on production? You're slow over like when jobs are setting up and tearing down. Mm-hmm. So with a 10-hour day, you can get a longer work day in. So your presses can just be running without like less breaks, I guess, tentatively, or like you don't have to stop the press in the middle of a job. You can maybe get one or two more runs in.
So taking that fifth day is like a prep day. So I'm saying like, all right, Friday is going to be like prep day to like get as much done as possible. So like Monday through Thursday, the presses are just stocked and spinning.
Right. So if you took 1 day a week, now I don't think there's a 4-hour, 4-day work week for the owner.
Right.
But, just production.
But if you took 1 day a week that was all prep, and I mean getting the screens like in the correct order that they need to be printed, everything, how much faster would those next 4 days go? I bet you'd fly.
Oh, absolutely. But a lot of the shops that are hitting that spot are just hiring more bodies to get those tasks done anyways and keep the presses spinning and flying 4 or 5 days a week. But I think they're looking over the fact that people hit burnout, right? Especially in the middle of summer. Like, your shop's a little bit different than most, where like you're slowing down for the summer. Most of the shops this time of the year are sweating buckets.
We have air conditioning.
120, I know, rub it in. Most shops are 110, 120 in the summer. And
it's a
working,
great employee perk, though.
It is. I mean, if you can do air conditioning, like little spot chillers at the person's station, worth it. But either way, when you're working somebody 8 to 10 hours a day, 5 days a week at least, and it's 100 degrees plus in the shop, you're not at the capacity you should be. I don't care how good the person is. After a couple hours in there, they're slowing down. They have to. So especially in the summer, I can see a lot of a change, especially somewhere out in like Texas or out in California where like the heat index is even higher. Saying, look, we're going to only make you deal with it 4 days a week. Will you put a little bit more through? I'd be willing to bet they're actually putting more output through.
They said there was big things. One was commute time. Mm-hmm. So people that especially live further didn't have to drive in for a fifth day.
Yeah.
They said also the extra 3 day work weekend, they felt people were just happier to go in on that Monday. And then they also said it gives the owner and more front-end staff time, like quiet time to just work well on Fridays. And then lastly, the potential of if there's overflow, hey, can anybody come in for a couple hours?
See, that's the hard part, though, because how do you prevent that overflow from consistently
happening?
We'd hit
that overflow every time.
I think that's the problem. In the shops I've run, same thing. You start off with that intention. Before you know it, you're working Friday and Saturday.
I wonder if, but from a customer service... From a customer service standpoint, you have to have coverage 5 days a week.
Right.
If you're going to run a legit company, you have to be answering
yes,
emails on a Friday.
Yes, this was solely production.
So I would even argue that no presses spin on a Monday.
That makes more sense to me.
Because,
it's the prep day.
All right, thoughts behind that?
Okay. We're like, I always say t-shirts, we're event planners because we're printing for events, whether it's a family reunion, something, usually you're printing for some event or we need the shirts by this day. Most of the time those are on the weekends, I think. And we have a lot of due dates there always like Thursday, Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I feel to your point, we would be using that overflow all the time because you're always packing more stuff in. If you had Monday to prep, and then you printed for 4 solid days.
Yeah, but then you're going to go, well, I'd rather have that extra buffer day. Might as well do Monday through Thursday instead, so I have that buffer day to make my enhanced dates in case something goes wrong on press. And before you know it, you're back in the
corner, back to work 5 days a week. You know what would solve all of this? Bruce, give us an update on Power Scheduler.
Power Scheduler.
Ooh, yeah, where's that at?
I wonder when whenever this episode should drop, hopefully the next... Oh, I didn't mute.
Oh, now he's going to edit it out.
A couple weeks here. So the first step is we're doing a spike, what's called. Basically, they're setting up the database. They're setting up all this back-end stuff. In about a week, it's queued up. We've gone through that. We've gone through like a ton of interviews with a lot of different shops of like, hey, feedback on this, go back. Feedback on this design, go back, come back, come back. And we learned a lot from that to make it better so we don't screw up and have to redo later. And then, I mean, ideally, I'd love to show something by Prognosis Conf. October 22nd and 23rd. Woo-hoo! Get your tickets now. Actually, Just quick side note, they are 30% out. Today is June 11th, 2021. So there's a lot of tickets that sold last week. Be sure to get it. It's going to be really
exciting.
Is there
actually a capacity?
It has to be in the first version. We made the determination that we need to have capacity in the first version. It gives that...
No.
Print Hustler's capacity.
Print Hustler's capacity.
Oh, by Print Hustler's.
No.
No. What's the capacity for Print Hustler's?
Oh, 150.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So that's a smaller
crowd. So literally the room will have 150 people and not 151.
No. We're selling 150 tickets. The capacity of the room could hit 200. It gets a little bit squeezed in.
There's like 30 of us at Printavo, though. So that adds
up.
But
there's that. There's sponsors. There's speakers may bring a couple people that, you know, so we needed a good flex. But it's being watched pretty closely. But yeah, I mean, literally the first 5 days, we're just like the Eventbrite. I mean, you saw notifications in our Slack. We're like ding, 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 ding. And so we're at 30% I last checked, and there was a couple more emails that came in. So
you got some big sponsors this year.
Yeah, Bell and Canvas, shouts out to them for helping us out. Huge, huge sponsor. We're coming out with like more smaller sponsorship packages, but they took the crown and are helping us make it awesome, because where we're going with it, everything's so much bigger. The venue's more expensive. All these other things around it.
Everyone's getting a Tesla.
Teslas will be... I can't even...
It's like Oprah. You guys are giving away Teslas, right?
I heard Barrelmaker got one.
Rumor has it that they are giving... I'm saying they. So they don't know who it is. Could be you. Could be Matt Marcotte.
It's definitely not me.
Could be Marcotte.inc on Instagram. Mm-hmm. DM him.
I'm giving away Nissan Rogues.
Hey, guys. I just want to give a quick shout out to the weekly brand new newsletter we're going to link down below that Luke Gardner on our team has been pumping out. Industry news, really cool tips, blogs, articles, all this other stuff that you guys can read. I just feel like newsletters have gotten annoying. And you get them and you just auto-read or auto-delete or auto-unsubscribe. But this one's just like short news and stuff that you can take with you. So definitely check that out.
And Luke is an incredible writer.
He's very talented.
One of the best.
He is.
I accidentally found him.
I've commented lately about them too. These are a different level. I've been very impressed with the emails lately.
Yeah. The weekly's awesome. I was looking for an engineer and I happened to see he was writing. We got on the phone. And I was just like, what do you, like, how would you write? You know, when you write an article, then what? And he talked about the promotion of it and all this stuff. And I was like, okay.
I mean, Luke put together the guide to merch stores.
It's a long.
I mean, it's a book.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's literally a book of how to run merch. Shout out Printavo Merch.
I think there's about only a third of shops using online stores, any platform. And so we get asked a lot, well, what do I do? They only sold 2 shirts. What do I do to like help promote it? How many designs, you know, people will blow out the designs and have like tons and pages. And Luke put that together. Just search Printavo merch guide in Google and it'll come up. And it's a beautiful, like you put a lot of work into that too. There's just so many tips in there. Okay. I'm going to jump into our Q&A for this week.
Oh, we got a question?
We got a question from the crowd.
Is this where Steven and I battle over the answer?
Okay.
Mayweather, who just fought?
Mayweather and Logan Paul.
Logan Paul. Who won and who lost? I think
nobody won,
lost.
Nobody lost, but they did go 8 rounds.
I saw some footage of like one's holding the other one up. I'm calling BS on the whole thing.
I thought it was cool. I thought it was cool.
Where did you watch it?
When?
Where?
I couldn't. Because I was just like busy, then I caught at the very end and I tried to like find a stream and they were all busted. But it was like the last 2 minutes and I was like, I'm not going to pay $49 for the 8th round and watch the highlights.
And that's a Printavo light. You can't spend that much money on that. No.
That was light. That was light plan.
Yeah.
All right. Our question is from Anonymous. Don't want to cause him any problems. Basically, the question was, how do you create a standardized process for reviews and raises, annual reviews and raises for the team? I feel that it's necessary and part of navigating the waters of employees who may feel like they need or have to have a raise or a promotion no matter what. they use the word entitled to be more straightforward. Part of it is the idea that we're doing way better than we actually are, that, you know, seeing the top line revenue is what the owners are actually making. And that's just not how it works. There's a couple questions in here, actually. One is, okay, how do you do annual reviews if you do them? And then two is handling the culture of people thinking that the owners are, if the business is doing 500K, that the owner's making 500K.
Wait, they're not? I'm kidding. So there's a couple things to that. And I'm sure Steven's got a lot of great answers too. One, there is a problem with people being a little too entitled. People think that, oh, I should get 5%, I should get 10% yearly. It doesn't always work like that. But if you're also doing an annual review and you're doing it once a year, you're digging your own grave for this to be a problem. You shouldn't be going, oh, the year's come up, now let's have this hard conversation with all this condensed time that has passed. You should be doing much more frequent check-ins, one-on-ones, monthly at the very least, with every employee. That way you've got 12 of these reviews you've done throughout the year.
When you were running a shop, what are those meetings, like what questions were you asking?
A lot of times those questions would be very simple, be a little like 10 minutes. I would do them every other week. So I'd have at least 10 minutes with every employee every other week. And you stick to it. It's 10 minutes unless it like needs to get longer, but otherwise it's just 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And during that time, you talk about what's going well for you, what's not going well for you, where do you think you can improve, where do you think I can improve to help you improve, mm-hmm. and have open conversations. And then after a couple of weeks, they might get a little more, less formal, right? And it's a little more like kind of just chit chat. But you can also determine more things, see how they're acting, how they're feeling, and determine things and talk to them about where do you want to go? What do you think your growth pattern is? And you can start to see who's actually got the gusto to want to grow in your company, who's more okay kind of just clocking in, clocking out and doing the daily thing, and then figure out, how am I going to make this person happy long term? Is it someone I even need to worry about making happy long term? Because the answer is sometimes not always, right? So being more aware of who your employees are and working with them, and then being transparent too. So going to, oh, well, we're making $1 million. That means you must be making $1 million. Well, educate them, right? Try to have more of an open book policy as much as you can. Make sure they understand, like, hey, that ink costs $75 a gallon. Oh, those gloves you're throwing away on every single changeover cost $1 each. Oh, right. Be a little more transparent as to what those costs are as well. That way they're not flying blind because they don't understand business. It's not your job to teach them business, but it's your job to be as transparent as possible to help them feel like they're doing their best and they're understanding what they can in the day-to-day. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I think it's fair.
So I think reviews are super important. I'd say there needs to be cadence that's done regularly with every employee in your company, right? So Matt was saying, like, if you're the production manager, you need to be meeting with your press operators every 2 weeks and doing like a check-in, whether it's like, you know, away from the shop or 10 minutes in a quiet room where you can talk, so that things don't bubble up to like needing to do them in an annual review, right? So that an annual review is maybe just like one highlight of 30 meetings that you've already had. I think that cadence is really hard to build. It takes a lot of discipline. And as a business owner, it's really hard to do. I'll just say it. It's really hard for me to do. And so I have to be very routine with them and I have to trick myself into doing them. So one thing I do is like with my sales team, they have to, what do they have to do? When the month closes, they have 2 weeks to set up a one-on-one with me to go over their commission. You don't get your commission until you do your monthly one-on-one. Mm. That's my way of knowing that I'm always going to do a one-on-one with them. That being said, we will do like quarterly reviews. And before the review, we give them a personal reflection, like just like a guided, hey, here are 10 questions to answer. And what's awesome is like when you give your employees the time to reflect, they are very thoughtful and insightful. They usually know what's wrong and they usually say it.
Anything that's come up that you remember?
Like recently we did one and the employee, you know, it was like 10, 15 questions. We're like, what's something that really frustrated you? And we both had the same answer, which was cool. It was like a tough job for something going on. And it was just great for them to reflect on it and us. And then we could have closure on it. You know, it wasn't festering or anything like that. And so I think those reviews are so important. I also think self-reflection is very important. and being very candid about it as well. As far as the transparency goes, we have something in our shop called like a daily burn. So if we don't print a single shirt, how much does your shop cost to run each day?
That's a big thing.
And everybody knows that?
Yeah. Because it's a huge number.
What is your daily burn?
Depends on the time of the year, but during peak season, $8,000 to $9,000 a day for 20 days a month.
That's your operating cost.
Mm-hmm.
So when you start showing people that you're starting off at a deficit and you've got to work your way out of it, it quickly changes that paradigm and how they're thinking about that day.
So if your daily burn, if you just turn the lights on and pay everyone and don't print a single shirt or don't buy a single shirt, we start that number negative in the hole. And every order we do is digging our way out of it. So we know at the end of the way, end of the day, did we dig our way out of like our debt today?
Mm-hmm.
And when I did this with more of my management team, but we have a daily scorecard or a weekly scorecard that we do. And they'll be like, oof, like last week was rough. And, you know, I'll be like, well, we lost 10 grand last week per se, but we've got huge orders coming on the backside. So I think creating that transparency gets them bought into a bigger picture to know that, like, you know, when you're a little frustrated or when I'm frustrated, there's a reason behind it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's on the wall.
When you messed up, when an order got really messed up or botched, it's my bank account and not yours. Right. So, not as a way of like scaring anyone, but I tell my team, when we win, we will win together and we will be rewarded for it. I'm not going to ever leave anyone behind. I don't think anyone does that here, you know? And I think some people think like, oh, they're just going to leave us in the dust. I don't think so. I don't know many shop owners that would do that, you know?
I mean, a lot of this boils down to transparency,
mm-hmm.
right? We personally at Printavo, we share revenue. We don't have like in the hole per se, cause the income model is different, but, all the revenue and analytics around revenue is shared with everybody so that they can dive in and use that data to affect their role to help grow. Oh shit. Wow. Okay. Churn is, you know, this is a problem. It's for these plans. Well, you know, it was during this period. I think that it was because of these accounts I set up or whatever from this campaign or something like that. I think the one that pertains more to us is the reviews. I personally hated annual reviews at the end of the year because my memory's so bad past 2 days ago.
I'm actually coming up to my 1 year mark here pretty soon, Bruce. So it's
thank
perfect
you guys
we're
so
talking
much for joining
this.
Us on this episode.
Son of a...
We'll see you guys every No, okay.
And I will not be here apparently.
I don't remember this. And I remember like working in a larger company and you know, you get this long form, right? And it's like, fill this in. What do you think was the biggest accomplishment? What do you think you can improve upon?
What Bruce ate
it's
for like, lunch last week?
I can't remember this.
Burgers.
What are you talking about? And so, I get undersold because I'm like, what? You know, I'm just like chugging along. I'm like trying to do this and fix that and do this like every single day. I can't remember this. Anyway, I think that was just almost worthless versus... we have one-on-one. So throughout Printavo, every manager will have one-on-ones with their team. And it's not as much reviews. I think for us, it's a little bit more of like kind of a part hangout to just connect, mm-hmm. especially as we're remote. We lost our lights. We're going to keep it rolling.
5 o'clock somewhere.
We're going to keep it rolling. Part hangout to like connect. And just chit chat and like things that you're having problems with. I feel like I want to help, and I push this on our management team is that I want you to help your team move the boulders out of people's way. So it's like, oh, what are you slow on? Or what are you stuck? Or I see you're doing this over and over. Like, can we buy this tool or do that or something to get you moving faster?
I think it's an important thing to do, and it kind of goes with like the doing it like every couple of weeks or at least monthly. It's more of a gauge for that person. You're getting a gauge for like how they are, who they are.
Yes.
Right.
What do they care about long term?
Exactly. And that way you're understanding their persona more.
Exactly.
So when they come in and they're having a crap day and they're off the handle, you can go, well, hang on. That's not who they are. I know this now because I've already gauged who they are as a person. This is not the issue. Something else is bigger that's a problem. Let's pull them aside. What's going on at home?
Right.
What's going on? Like, this is not you. I know it's not you. I'm not going to get angry at what just happened because it's not like you, right? If you don't know the person because you're not getting a gauge for who they are, then when things go sideways, you don't know where to even start to address the problem.
And that I think is huge, is the giving the feedback, but also making sure to write it down somewhere so you can bring it up. Because it's so easy to be like, oh, shoot, I can't believe they did this. And then you totally forget about it and don't say about anything that biweekly. You brought this up in that helping people learn to do better through questions. And like, hey, take a look at this thing that we worked on. You know, I want us to be more professional. How do you think this could have matched that goal, right? And let people come to it and start self-solving. I can't remember what the problem was that I was dealing with, but you were like, because it was a very touchy situation, and you talked about more of asking the questions to get like them to
save leadership,
it.
Like,
right. It was letting them come to the answer instead of you just going, hey, I need you to do X, Y, Z because, okay, move on.
I heard, I don't know where we got this from in sales management, but they say like, you got two ears, one mouth. So like, every time you want to say something in management, turn it into a question. Like anytime you want to work downstream, you always turn it into a question, right? So I could say like, you know, Bruce, you need to clean your shoes. They're a little scuffed from LA. Or I could say like, Bruce, I noticed your shoes are a little scuffed. Is there anything you haven't been doing that makes them a little dirtier? Because I noticed that they're not as clean as when you lived in Chicago.
Shots fired.
And you'd be like, well, maybe. You know, but anything, literally, like, I was in a class for, like, sales coaching, and they literally said, like, pick anything that you want to say and try to turn it into a question every single time and see if you can get, you know, those working underneath you to actually surface it with their own words.
And then self-solve next time.
Yeah. And so like, even if it takes a roundabout way, or even if it takes longer to get there, in something so silly as your shoes, can you get them to like start to be like, yeah, I could do that, but you know, actually, and they'll actually start like coming up with statements that make them solve the problem.
And when they've come up with the solution, they're buying into it usually a little bit easier than being dictated or told by.
Yeah. When they verbalize it, what more could you ask for? As long as they get, and I was even, I don't know where this is, maybe it's in like Sandler system or something, but they say like, don't stop. If they aren't getting to it, you're not asking the right questions, right? And you need to work on the way that you're asking the questions.
But Kevin Baumgart always says that, tell me more.
Yeah. Tell me, is there anything else? Is there anything I'm missing? But yeah, I don't know if we ask enough good questions to our team every day. Or we just want to get the quick way of, yep, do this and get out of here. You know, a lot of our students or even our employees will be like, hey, do you think I priced this right? And I'll always turn it on to them and say, well, what do you think? What do you think is fair? And then they'll come up with it. And most of the time I say, yeah, that's pretty good.
Conversation. I always think it's just important to, like you said, document it. With my history running shops, I'd always have notepads where I'd just go to that person. I'd take a couple of quick shorthand notes about the meeting. That way, when it came to my end of the year review, like you said too, I could look at like my 30 data points and go, okay, they were good. And during that time, I'd also figure out like tracks for like what they wanted to do, what they wanted to achieve. Then I'd hold them to that. Be like, oh, in February, you said that you wanted to learn this and I gave the opportunity to do those things. Did you own those opportunities? Well, not enough. I agree. Not enough. I would love to see you do that next year. So let's plan for that for next year. This year, because we didn't hit the opportunities we wanted to hit, you were given the chance to do them, I'm going to be able to allot you this much of a raise or this much of a thing, or we're going to do whatever, right? But it's not a surprise because they were in those conversations too, right?
Sure.
So it's never one of those like, oh man, it's like, well, we talked about this. You knew you didn't do it. So how could I reward you if you didn't do it, right? So I think just, again, we keep circling on the same answer. It's just transparency. It's everything.
I think the other thing that's going to seem really silly is really great note-taking.
In the meetings or?
In the meetings. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to have a journal and I'd write everything down. And then sometimes I'd forget my journal and I'd sit down for a meeting and then I'd just like pull out a piece of paper and I'd lose that paper. Like, how bad does that look? You know, if you're a manager or you've got employees and you're not taking notes or writing down or have transparency. And so
you just put it in a Google Doc or
I realized that like everyone in the company took notes a little differently. So we kind of standardized like, hey, we're all going to take notes this way when we're in management meetings. Like there's always going to be a date up here and you can always find it, you know, so that if I have a meeting with Nick, but Nick isn't my direct report Adam, who's his manager, can see it and be like, oh, you guys had a one-on-one, right? So
interesting.
It sounds silly.
So management transparency.
It sounds
too.
Silly, but yeah. You know, like in bigger companies, they have those things. Like they have their employees in a thing, and they can see where everyone's at and who's met with them. Or there's like Lattice and tools like that.
Mm, that's right. Is it Lattice or
Lattice?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Lattice.
Yeah, but you can use like a Google Doc. You just all have to agree upon it. Mm-hmm. We use Notion. That's the one we use.
Notion.co or
SO?
Mm-hmm. Notion.so. It's kind of a cool like notepad type tool. There's a concept by the CEO of Shopify, Tobias Lütke. He's a German
guy. Can you
guy.
Say that again?
One more time, slower.
Lütke.
Spell it. You did the sentence.
CEO of Shopify.
Origin.
German guy in Canada.
Can you say that again?
Lütke.
We're going to see how good
anyway,
Bruce's mics are.
Yeah. The point is that they have this concept at Shopify called the trust battery. And it's a way for them to extract opinions and be able to talk about them in a third person almost. And so, for example, they have, I have this quote here and they'll say, hey, you made a commitment to ship this feature and you did. That's awesome. It's a super big charge on your trust battery, but you're actually late for almost every meeting. Although it's minor, it decreases the charge a bit on your battery. You should fix it. And so, you know, people care about keeping that battery charged, I guess, a separate aspect, and it kind of makes feedback a little bit easier, which I was like, that's interesting, because I wonder if sometimes when I'm like, hey, I need you to do this, or I need that, you know, and you kind of start
it
just...
It gamifies
you
them.
You outputting stuff... It helps people think about it a little bit more instead of, oh, it's just the boss of this or, you know. I don't know. I thought
I
it
mean,
was kind
like
of a cool
marbles
concept.
In a jar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
You're depleting my marbles, Bruce.
Bruce, I like Trust Battery.
I need you to
it
fill my marbles.
It is
kind of
cool.
Bruce.
But they said that...
Let's
like,
talk about features.
Like your iPhone is running low and you want to start charging it. You know, you feel like you got to start charging it. So that's the way they think about it. And they said they talk about it a lot and they've made it a part of the culture. So
that's really cool.
It actually is. I like that concept because it helps you, again, you're gauging the people you work with. You know where they're at. You can almost start to tell when their battery's full, when their battery's running low based on how they're acting.
Yep.
So actually being able to like quantify that with a way to interact, talk about that, I think makes it easier and takes away the attitude of being like, yo, you're in a bad mood today. It's like, hey, seems like your battery's a little low. You good? Like,
mm-hmm. I think what's interesting too is... the example that you just talked about, they actually say that like the features were amazing that you did. The deliverables were awesome, but you can't make meetings on time.
And instead of just, hey, you're always late.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So they're taking something huge. Like the engineer might turn around and say, well, these features are awesome. Yeah. But you can't even come to your meetings on time. So they're putting value in the things of that they need out of their team as far as,
right.
You know, saying please and thank you, showing up on time, as well as the deliverables.
It keeps you more even when leaving that meeting too. So it's not like just cutting down.
I think it's also important to let your employees know the little things matter more to the owners than you would think,
mm-hmm.
like showing up on time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes your team doesn't think that, but those are the things I watch out for all the time. I'm always looking at like, are they on time? Were they really attentive in that meeting or not? Were they super distracted?
Yeah, I do think about that.
I think those are tells for bigger things often in my opinion too.
Totally.
So if someone's coming in a little bit late, I'm going to probably doubt they're getting their other things done as well. Because if they can't do the simplest thing of clocking in on time, are they actually doing things that I'm not looking? And usually the answer is no, right?
Right.
So those small, very miniature, minuscule things that someone would be like, it doesn't matter. They do matter, and they are a tell, just like when you're playing poker, right? Someone starts to have a tick when they're bluffing. Like, you start to see those tells based on the little, minute actions that people are doing throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
So all the more reason why I also like this concept of the battery.
I'll link to the screenshot down below so you guys can read that full section. He did this really long interview, and I thought that...
What was his name?
Tobias Lütke. One thing I wanted to share with you guys too, we've got this open data dashboard that I put together. Producer Chris, can you just put like a nice screen of this up?
Splash.
It's cool. What it's showing is 2021's order volume going through Printavo. And then it's also got 2020 last year, which is hard to base off because it was really shaky. And then 2019, which was a little bit more steady. But what's interesting is you could see the normal peaks and valleys. For example, in 2019, kind of where things go up, they take a dip in like May, June, and then start creeping up again into the fall and then fall off in the holidays. But you could see just the roaring second quarter here going off, that normally would be a little bit slower and kind of evened out. Now, this did dip a bit kind of late May, which always does happen.
It's crazy.
And then continues up. There's always tends to be this dip around, let me see what month that was, the June, middle of June, that falls off and then continues to kind of flatten throughout and have a pretty solid rest of the year. But I just found it kind of interesting.
This COVID part is crazy.
Well, then, yeah.
Yeah. And so you can see the green line here. The COVID aspect where, you know, at the bottom of those are just weeks and then total number of orders on the y-axis. But yeah, I mean, around like 13th week here, like it was just, it really resembled Christmas to New Year's, but obviously had a lot slower of a recovery, but kind of cool.
I don't know. I think it's crazy to see the same exact dips. So what's interesting this year is everything was delayed just a little bit, right? So the normal January slowdown kind of happened in February, and the May slowdown was just a little bit later.
Exactly.
So then we're going to expect one, hopefully not, around the 4th of July. Yeah.
Yeah, you were spot on. School. I mean, you could see 2019 and 2020, it was the exact same week.
Yeah.
And then now this year, you're right, it shifted.
So you should do one with quotes versus invoices.
All right. I'm going to build more stuff. I want to share more stuff with you guys on the data side. I think it's really fascinating. And you can always check this out. Use it, right? Use it to plan for cash flow, for hiring, whatever you want. So that's cool. That's the Printavo open data. The last thing, you started reading 2 Second Lean?
I read it.
And?
I start books to finish them, Bruce.
Ooh. Second time shots are fired today.
I'm going to start it. I have a goal. I want to go into getting Six Sigma certified.
Let's start with a book.
But you said you were going to go through it too.
My operations manager and I were talking about potentially taking the course together.
Allegedly.
Because it would be a cool accountability thing for the two of us to do.
Okay.
Where we have to pay someone and then we have
to... How long is that course?
I think it's a couple months. Likelihood of it happening, 25%.
Okay. All right. We'll start with 2 Second Lean. You want to do it?
Which one? Six Sigma or...
No, 2 Second.
I want to do both.
Okay.
2 Second Lean's a book you finish in an afternoon.
All right. Perfect.
Well, we'll both start it. We'll
how many
see
pictures?
Who finishes it and when.
If you started over there and you started over there, we could live stream it and you guys would be done.
How many pictures?
Yeah. Is it a pop-up book? I only read pop-up.
All right. We're going to start that. We'll update you guys next Thursday. But the last thing is traction. We haven't brought up traction in a little while, but what's interesting is that we've been trying to run it actually really more closely because of the data KPIs aspect. And I felt like when we set up Traction, if you guys haven't started the book or read it, just go through. It helps you create long-term goals. It gets your whole team synced up. You create KPIs for the business. And it really sets up a structure for the business. One of the pieces, though, is setting up KPIs and sticking to them and bringing them up again and again and again in every weekly meeting. I have found that really hard to make sure to bring that up because sometimes it's like, you know, these numbers aren't going to be affected in a week. It's sort of a longer term change. And you also, I found, have to be on it, like physically, like making sure to cover it, making sure it's updated, you know, and all this stuff. Cause it's not automated. Like there's so many data sources.
Like one of the things you're supposed to do is show it daily or weekly because it's such a minute change, but it gets you to start to understand what it really takes to make that change.
It's arguably one of the biggest changes we made this January. And one of the best is the scorecard. Mm. So we went through Okay, so the reason the scorecard is so important is because there's a lot of tangible data that you should be bringing out of the business in real time. When I say real time, within a week, and not waiting until your accountant shows you those numbers. So like the numbers that your accountant shows you are kind of at the end. The scorecard is to be very proactive and kind of know like the data that you just showed us. So we went through and we picked like 20 data points, so, and they all have to be very easy to attain. So how many orders got submitted by students last week? Just want to know like the number. Mm-hmm. And then how much revenue came from students versus wholesale orders. And then what I did is I am not good enough to put all those numbers in. So I made a Loom video of exactly how to find those numbers. And that was really hard. Adam and I worked on it like for a whole day, just making 5-minute videos, like going to Printavo, export this, put this filter on, you know, or going to Shopify, going to ShipStation, figure out how much you shipped last week. And then every manager has to submit those orders. And we have this meeting on Tuesdays at 9 a.m. with our management team. And the scorecard is perfect for 25 weeks. Like it's bang on.
Do you set the goals for the next quarter and then you're filling in what actually happened?
Well, I think right now it's not so much goal driven as it is getting really good KPIs. So we've been just like making them better and making sure they're more accurate. So we pick through them, but then the team will come out and say, ooh, we've got this coming up, or wow, last week you saw a huge drop off. And so they start verbalizing the issues and it just creates a sense of accountability with your management team. And it's so helpful because then they're constantly looking at it and they'll either see something and say, I don't know if that's right. I'm going to check on S&S. Like that cost of goods for last week seems a little high. And they'll check in and say, oh, we were buying stuff for a huge bulk order in a month. And you're like, okay, I'm glad you came up with that. So I don't know, just putting numbers behind stuff makes everyone happier. Even like a lot of people on the Printavo user group have been doing like data studio stuff.
I see that.
Like Corey's been doing it. Justin's been doing it.
If you're not in the Printavo user group and you are using Printavo, it's not ours, but it's really cool. People have been sharing some really cool stuff that they've been doing.
But
I know Corey Beal
Corey's actually
going
to be a guest on Printavo University coming up here in a couple of weeks, and he's going to be showing us how he did the screen one.
I mean, that's cool because like there was a need there of how many screens have been reclaimed, how many we have in cycle, and he standardized that whole thing using like Google Sheets, a barcode scanner, and Data Studio. That right there is a cool KPI that helps his shop run more efficiently. I bet you he's much more efficient using screens now. You know, that's something like we need. We just buy more screens.
Listen in every Thursday, Printavo Print Hustlers Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce from Printavo. We've got Stephen Farrig, Matt Marcotte. We'll see you guys next week.